Are celebrity crushes harmless or genuinely bad for you? We discuss this and more on this episode of The Overthinkers. Hello, thinking people. Welcome to The Overthinkers, a home for people who love to have fun thinking deeply. I'm your host, Joseph Holmes, film critic, public intellectual, celebrity-ish. And with me, as always, is my fiendishly famous co-host,
Nathan Clarkson, actor, author, filmmaker, and I was going to say Z-list celebrity, but I don't even think I make it onto the alphabet of celebrity. can I be the podcaster? You know, maybe.
I mean, there's like a few people who know who you are. Like, in
are
a
we
very
Z-list celebrities, Joseph?
Yes. Let's embrace our status as Z-list celebrities.
Okay, I think so. We run a podcast. We are Z-list celebrities. So you're welcome, everybody.
You've had your movie in like some film festivals, some movies.
That's right. Like, you know, I've been on TV. It might have just been a few.
Yeah, you've written books. You've written books. You're like, you know, it's a few people who know who you are, who know who you are from your mom and from other things. Nathan, embrace it.
Well, I'm gonna embrace it.
We're talking about celebrities because today we're gonna be talking about discussing whether celebrity crushes are bad for you. But first, Nathan, if people enjoy having this discussion from two Z list celebrities or one Z list celebrity and one negative Z list celebrity, want to engage with more of our content and be fellow overthinkers like themselves, where can they go?
They can go to theoverthinkersjournal.world, where they can find out more about their hosts, their Z list celebrity hosts, and it's there they can send us all of their love and hate mail. They can also go to the online Facebook group called The Overthinkers, where we have 20,000 overthinkers just like yourself getting into great discussions about all the stuff we talk about here and posting tons of intellectual memes, of course. If you do enjoy this discussion, please consider leaving us a review and sharing it with a friend. It really does help us so very much.
We might be able to make it to Y-list celebrity with your help.
You can come along for the journey as we claw our way up to probably never A-list celebrity. That's okay. We're happy. We're just happy to be here.
No. Sounds like a lot of responsibility to be an A-list celebrity.
Exactly.
I wouldn't even want it. You know,
yeah, I wouldn't want it. Yeah, I don't want riches and fame and attention and love. What are you talking about? No.
That's the only reason I'll never have it. It's because I don't want it.
The only logical explanation.
Okay. All right. We'll get started. Ready to get started, Nathan?
Let's do it.
Okay. For most people, celebrity crushes are seen as a normal part of growing up. Whether it's a movie star, pop singer, or podcast host. People do have crushes on podcast hosts, I am told.
Allow me to put on my skepticals.
Most people, if you ask them, can recall a time in their life in their formative years where they had romantic feelings for someone who was a well-known media figure that they didn't have any personal real-life relationship with. Such one-sided relationships are known in psychology as parasocial relationships, because we respond to these relationships in many ways like they're real relationships, even though they're not, such as feeling like a YouTube commenter is like a father figure or buying a product endorsed by an actress because you trust them, even though you only know her from her movie roles. For many, such parasocial romantic relationships are harmless and can even be beneficial. Media psychology scholar Dr. Tukachansky Forster argued that celebrity crushes can help you to explore your romantic desires in a safe environment without social repercussions. Others are more wary. Behavioral analyst Dr. Wendy Patrick cautions that these parasocial relationships can be maladaptive, cultivating feelings of self-worth around romantic relationships, and particularly when one is older, taking time and energy away from real-life relationships. So, Nathan, as you know, this episode topic came out of a fun message exchange we were having on a totally different topic. So I want you to start us off. What do you think about celebrity crushes?
Well, I do also love that this podcast about celebrity crushes comes after like a line of like these super intricate, deep questions about theology and philosophy. And we're like, oh my gosh, we just need to do one on celebrity crushes. So,
yes, too much. We have a lot of column A. Let's have some column B.
Yeah. So here's some column B for all of you and for us, because I think we're all just a little bit mentally exhausted. So we can jump into this one. But don't worry, we will, in true fashion, way overthink this. So here we go.
Hold your seats, folks. Here we go again.
Well, as a celebrity who has ones and ones of fans. Notice I didn't even say tens and tens of fans. I can say with authority, well, okay, let me say this. Celebrity crushes, as Joseph kind of talked about in his intro, are a pretty normal thing within conversation. You know, it's something that I've heard both in guy groups and girl groups. It's who do you think is cute? Who do you think is cool? Who's your celebrity crush, right? We even talk about who's your first celebrity crush. So this is a pretty normal thing that takes place in a lot of our social interactions and social groups. And so we're not trying to be killjoys here today if we come to a conclusion you don't like. But I do want to investigate how the things that we kind of perceive as normal, how they actually might affect us and our lives in a positive or negative way. Now, when it comes to celebrity crushes, I think all of us kind of have that first time when we were kids, right? And we watched a movie or listen to a band. You know, when I was a kid, everybody was either crushing on NSYNC or Justin Timberlake, or, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio when he was young. Yes, I'm that old, because he's super old. You know, or Britney Spears, or, you know, mine, I don't want to show my cards too much. My first celebrity crush was Hermione. No, not Emma Watson, Hermione. So, you know, if you want to talk about fantasy. But yeah, so, you know, that's a pretty natural thing for kids to see someone in a context they like and to see someone's personality and see someone and they're pretty and they go, oh, I like that person. And, you know, kind of as you're coming of age, you notice that you have a like for somebody. You know, do you like them? And that's a really normal thing, particularly when you are engaging in media of the time. And there's also, you know, a lot of the social aspect to it too. Your friends like this person and tell you this is cute, and you know, that's very normal for these kids to get a crush on somebody. You're kind of practicing out the feeling that you're going to use in the real world, kind of in this first way. But I think the question we really have to ask is it good and normal for adults to do this? Because as we know, it's a normal thing for kids to have a crush on a celebrity or a character in a movie or whatever. But when it translates into adulthood, that's when I start kind of having these questions. Now, I do think there's probably an innocent way to do this, generally speaking, but there also needs to be a defined line here between who you are. And I think also we need to say, are you a single person? Are you a married person? And a lot of this conversation comes out of, you know, particularly now on TikTok and all these different places you watch videos, it's pretty normal, like I mentioned earlier, not just in social situations, but for, you know, married people to talk about their celebrity crushes. I have a crush on Jason Momoa. I have a crush on Scarlett Johansson, and they're so beautiful, and they're with somebody. So I'm going to talk first to the people who are with somebody who are in a committed relationship, and kind of if this is an okay thing to do in a committed relationship, and then we'll kind of get into the single people and say, well, okay, well, if I'm not with somebody, is it okay? So first to the people who have been coupled up, you were with somebody, and let's say, you know, you believe in kind of this institution of marriage where you vow your life to somebody. You are the person I have vowed to look at, to cherish, to love, to protect, to honor. And so I do think there's this element of this normalization of celebrity crushes that can be kind of toxic when you put it in the context of relationship, right? Now, I'm a deeply insecure person, so I can only speak from my deeply insecure place. But the idea of my wife, who I love very much, who I've committed to, who's committed to me, looking at someone else with, and again, we kind of have to define crush, not just I like them as an actor, not just I like their work. Oh, I always enjoy, you know, who doesn't like seeing Ryan Gosling do anything? He's funny. He's talented. He's a good actor. He's comedian, whatever. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about what we usually consider socially at the definition of crush, which is I have an attraction towards them that I entertain and enjoy. And so when it comes to that, I'm a deeply insecure person. And I think I wouldn't enjoy her fostering an attraction for someone else at all, period. But particularly someone who's cast in such an unrealistic light that I could never live up to, right? I will never have the abs of Ryan Gosling or the, you know, the muscles of Chris Hemsworth or whatever. And so there's this idea that when you kind of foster a crush on a celebrity, there's two things here. One is you are kind of hurting the person you were with, because you are idealizing something aside from them that you have vowed to give to only them, your attention, your fidelity, your love. And you're idealizing this thing that they can never live up to. And I'll tell you why they can't live up to it. It's not because they're not great people. It's not even because they're not fit people or whatever. It's because you don't actually know that person. And so you're choosing a fantasy of something, an ideal, that the real human in front of you can never possibly meet. Because that real human in front of you is a human who has flaws, who has bodily issues, who has bad days. And so when you idolize a fantasy, we've only seen in movies where it's perfect lighting, where a script is written for them, where they always win, where they come out on top, where they defeat the bad guy, where they say the smooth thing and they talk in the perfect way, or in interviews where they are charming and everything is scripted and everything is edited so you really like them and want to see their movies, then you are setting your person up for failure. And you're setting them up to feel about themselves that they cannot be enough for you. And I think that can be a really detrimental thing within a relationship. And so I know it feels innocent to be like, oh my gosh, Tony Stark, I'm such a guy. Who are like the young, cool guys?
Am I so out of touch?
Tony Stark is so cute. I know it feels innocent, and it could even be that it is in your mind, but it will have a negative effect, I promise you, on the person you're with if you foster a crush, and particularly if you verbalize these feelings of attraction towards someone else that isn't them. And it will create this kind of distance that I will never be that, and she likes that, or I'll never be that, and he likes that. And that will have a detrimental effect, I believe, on the committed relationship you find yourself in. Okay, so that's just kind of my overview on people who are in marriage. But what about single people? It's like, well, I'm not with somebody. I can have many celebrity crushes I want. All right, no, you can't. It's bad. Don't do it. And I'll tell you why. Now, I want to be clear here. I'm not talking about attraction. Attraction is involuntary. You cannot help who you're attracted to. That is a normal thing. I'm talking about the fostering of an imaginary relationship with somebody. That's really what I'm talking about when I talk about crush here. There's nothing wrong with noticing that someone is attractive. That's very normal. You're human. That is built into your DNA. You cannot stop who you're attracted to. I'm talking, like I said, about fostering a feeling and a fantasy about somebody. That's what a crush is. So when it comes to single people, hey, you guys out there single, it feels totally normal. Like, I'm going to watch this TV show. I'm going to listen to this music. And I'm going to crush on this person. By the way, this is very psychologically normal. Dan Allender has a podcast where he talks about a lot of this, and it's called erotic transference, but it's not what you think. It doesn't necessarily have to do with sexuality, but it does have to do with filling something in your heart that you desire and that you don't currently have. And that's and when you feel that desire or that lack, that's a good thing, both inside of a relationship and outside of a relationship, to really investigate. But just investing your mind and mental power in a crush, I think, isn't actually addressing what those real desires are, and actually could be having negative effects. And I think the first one is obvious, but it should still be said. It's fantasy. Again, like I mentioned in the kind of me speaking to coupled people, even when you're single and you invest in a fantasy about a celebrity crush about someone, you're not actually crushing on them. Scarlett Johansson or Chris Hemsworth. Again, I'm just going Marvel characters. I don't know why.
We're really starting to show our age of like what was relevant back when we were.
I don't know. I don't know the new young.
Who are the people crushing on this? Timothy Chalamet, Sydney Sweeney,
Zendaya,
something.
Yep. We just got to move to Dune now. That's our touch
exactly,
point.
Yes.
How do you do, fellow kids?
Florence Pugh. There you go.
Yeah, Florence Pugh. Liam Neeson.
Ages backwards, man.
Sir Ian McKellen, maybe. Maybe the kids are crushing on him.
Who's the guy who is in the new rom-com with Sydney Sweeney? What's his name? I forget. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
he was in Top Gun Maverick.
That
also.
Guy. Yeah. Maybe Meryl Streep is your crush. But regardless, I do think whether you're single or coupled, when you foster a crush about someone, particularly who you do not know, you are creating a fantasy in your own world about who they are. And it's not them, it's your own created fantasy. And what happens when we do that is it starts kind of piecing together this thing in our heads of what we think we want and need to have our needs met. Now, when you piece together this fantasy, and we've looked into a lot of, this actually takes place a lot in porn, but that's kind of more an extreme thing. This is less, but it still has detrimental effects, right? When you kind of piece together this idea of this is what I'm attracted to and need to be fulfilled when it comes to relationship, particularly outside of a relationship, what you're doing is you're setting up a fantasy for yourself that no person you will ever meet will live up to. Ever. I promise you, they will never look like the celebrity they have a crush on the red carpet or in the movie or on stage or whatever it is, because that picture that you have used to craft your ideal of what your attraction should be around is not filled with any kind of reality. The reality is Scarlett Johansson and whoever else and Chris Hemsworth, they're real people. They get sick. They don't wear makeup all the time. They're annoying sometimes, but you don't see that or experience that. So that perfection, that ideal from the movies, from the talk shows, from the magazines, that can be the thing, that unrealistic perfection can be the thing that informs what you want to be attracted to. And I think that can be really detrimental when you actually go and look for a mate, right? When you go and look for someone to spend your life with, to commit to, and you have built this fantasy in your head of what they should look like or what they should be like, you're going to find yourself consistently disappointed with every real person. You might for a second get to, you know, fantasize about them, but as soon as you get to know them beyond the fantasy that they give you and that you take place in the first couple dates, then you're going to get tired of them because, again, they fall out of that perfection circle you've drawn based on all the kind of the celebrity crush and fantasy you've built up as what you're attracted to. And so I think that's kind of another dangerous element to even single people taking part in the what feels like just fun of celebrity crush. So I know we're just huge killjoys and we're massively overthinking this. I have a few more things of why I think this could be negatively affecting us. But before I dive into those, I want to hear your thoughts, Joseph. One, do you have celebrity crushes? And two, do you feel bad about it?
Who writes this guy's stuff?
No, I don't have celebrity crushes, and yes, I do feel bad about it. But anyway, I think there's a lot there that I really like, and that touches on things we've talked about before. I mean, obviously, I, like everybody else, I've had, you know, growing up, I had celebrity crushes. I had, you know, again, even being homeschooled particularly, you know, is interesting because, you know, there were fewer kind of girls that I was actually meeting on a day-to-day basis, real life girls. And I didn't get as much into the celebrity crush scene, but because I also didn't have that social aspect. But definitely, you know, definitely I had, you know, celebrity crushes. I remember, you know, again, this is showing my age and my nerddom. You know, I remember, you know, first time I saw Fantastic Four with Jessica Alba. I was like, okay, there's my celebrity crush. But then, you know, I think that there is, like, you know, the Dr. Forster mentioned, I think that the positive aspects that I see in my life and other people's lives is what you pointed out, that self-discovery aspect when you're young. Because you are kind of figuring out, who do I like? What am I attracted to? And why am I attracted to people? And what am I looking for? And that's where kind of internal romance, that's kind of play, kind of figuring out, that is, I think, seems to have the most benefits. And again, it you're able to do it in a sense at a safe place where it won't maybe have problematic effects as you're figuring that out with people you actually know. There have been certain, you know, kind of certain events when there is a, what you call it, where boys will, in high school, they'll find boys who are kind of like ranking their female classmates. And that's like, and the female classmates are kind of really feel awful about that, because this journey of self-discovery guys are going on, they're dragging them into. So I think that, you know, again, there's ways in which this makes sense when you are discovering yourself and discovering what you are interested in. The thing is, the reason, whether or not you're a Christian who believes we're created by God, or whether or not you just believe in evolution or something like that, the reason we have crushes on people is to build relationships with them. That's the reason that you have desires like this. You are a person, a social creature who is made to love and be loved. And love and be loved, love real people and be loved by real people who you can have a real relationship with. The fact that we live in most of when human beings existed, this was in a context the only people you would ever know, and therefore only people who would ever develop crushes on, are people that you would have a reasonable ability to actually have a relationship with. So what's important is to recognize that even in cases where the celebrity crush is harmless, I think in most cases it is certainly at a young age if you're not in, you know, a real relationship. I'll get to that later. But even in a case where it's harmless, it is a situation where we're in an unnatural environment where your natural instincts are being hacked by technology, essentially.
That's really interesting. Sorry, continue.
Yeah. No, it's very exciting. I mean, the fact that TVs exist and that the internet exists is the reason you can have crushes on people that you're never going to meet.
I would be so curious. I'm going to let you continue, but I would be so curious for someone to do a study to see, did celebrity crushes, I know crushes have always existed in humanity, did celebrity crushes exist to the extent they do now pre, you know, Industrial Revolution or just pre-technology,
right?
TV, phones, all of that, magazines. That would be really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that would be a really fascinating site. But anyway, in any case, to a certain degree, your natural drives are being hacked, technologically hacked. And that can be a harmless thing in some cases, but that's worth recognizing that that's going on. So that's the first part of it, is that you are being hacked with this. And the purpose of this, again, is to develop the ability to have relationships with real people. And so I think it's harmful to the degree that it takes you away from being able to have this with real people. So I think your example, I think most people kind of understand this. I would think understand this, that if you have a celebrity crush, it takes you away from the real person, because a lot of the love and kind of fantasizing and kind of mental bonding that you should be doing with the other person, you're doing with somebody else. I think to a certain degree, you know, people think, well, because it's never going to lead anywhere else, it's a safe place to have the fantasies that I'm never going to actually have with the person I'm with because I'm kind of settled. I think that there's a certain degree of that. But that's not harmless, because under normal circumstances, you can actually grow with the person you're with to have more of your desires fulfilled with that person, unless you're actually sabotaging it by having it go to somebody else. So that's an obvious place where that can go wrong. But I think also you point out that as you get older and as you've kind of gotten through that hump of like self-discovery, investing a lot of time or a kind of emotional stakes or energy in a crush that in somebody that's a parasocial relationship and not a social relationship, doesn't give you any real benefits of what you're supposed to be going to. You've already done that process of the self-discovery where it might be helpful. And it is, you know, taking away what you could be then investing in real life people. At the very least, it's not adding, you know, it's not using the drives the way they're supposed to add and bring you forward to that. And at worst, then it is, you know, it's taking away some of that drive to actually go after somebody. And so again, I think it's mostly harmful and can be beneficial in younger years, but I do like the phrase to call it maladaptive, because again, these are things that are adapted to helping you to love and be loved by other people, and they're being hacked by technology to cause you to do things that will take you away from those relationships. So that's kind of the way I frame this in my head as to the uses and helps and normalcy of it, but also the potential problems and how you know where it's going wrong.
This is good. And I really like what you said about how sometimes we kind of give ourselves a pass to like, you know, I'm never going to meet Tom Cruise. Do people crush on Tom Cruise? I don't know. Hugh Grant is someone everybody has a crush on, right?
How many times do we have to teach you this lesson, old man?
Okay, I'll stop. Renee Zellweger. So again, I'm just showing my age. I really like that element that you talk about, how it feels like fantasy, so it can't be that harmful. I'm never going to meet them. XYZ. So that's very interesting. But like you said, even if you do never meet them and you don't actually develop a physical or real relationship with them, the harm does come in that it does make you discontent with either someone you could meet or someone you already are with. And so there is that discontentment aspect that you are preferring fantasy over real. But there's what's interesting is also when, you know, just kind of building off of this idea that the person you're crushing out in a fantasy, it's not actually the real person, it's a fantasy in your head. You know, ultimately, when you create a fantasy of some celebrity in your head, what you're doing is it's an imaginary person. It's not real. It's just a fantasy in your head. And I think if we reframe the question, say, is it okay to have a crush on an imaginary friend? We would be like, absolutely. That sounds like you should go to therapy. But that's essentially what you're doing when you have a celebrity crush. The thing is, you don't have a crush on these actual people. You have a crush on the imaginary aspects that you've created around them, which is an imaginary friend. So I don't think it's great to have a crush on an imaginary friend. So and aside from
but a Sully movie, though, Sully though, he's got, he's got the dad bod going on.
you make a good point. But there's also this aspect that we kind of haven't talked about, which is, you know, we talked about the celebrity crushes, which you're right. The possibility of, you know, you dating whoever you see on TV is very, 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 very low. Or even meeting them is very, 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 very low. But there's another thing that can happen. And again, I really refer you to this great episode. Don't ask which one it is. And we'd love to have the podcast venture. But Dan Allender talked about this kind of celebrity crush concept that actually doesn't have, that kind of happens in this kind of midway celebrity. And this is what often happens. And when people get crushes on their therapists, on their pastors, on their teachers. And so that practicing that kind of thing can actually ultimately affect you into your real life, where you start having celebrity crushes on people in positions of influence, authority, whatever it might be in your life. That actually are closer to you and actually could wreak havoc on your life if you're not careful. So there is that element too, is we tend to, you know, why do we have crushes? Like Joseph said, we are looking to fill something in our heart. We're looking to have a relationship with someone. We're looking to form and build a relationship, or relational creatures. Even, and you're looking to do that romantically, right? And so it can feel safe when you do it out there on the TV. But that feeling and practicing that thing can actually come and start affecting how you start fantasizing to people, even just kind of within arm's reach, which actually can have a negative effect on your life. And we've seen this in time after time after time. With churches being split, with people, you know, losing their jobs as professors, whatever it might be. And it all kind of came out of this fantasization, is that a word, of the celebrity crush mentality that we practice for people who we are able to build a fantasy around. Anyway, so yeah, ultimately I think, you know, there's not tons more to say on this other than it's good to investigate these things that we kind of say. You know, it's interesting how often people say, it's just innocent. You know, it's funny, I don't think you need to keep on saying it's just innocent about things that are actually just innocent. You know, I don't keep on reminding my wife that it's just innocent when I eat a tortilla chip, because it truly is just innocent. I don't need to justify that. But it's really good to kind of investigate your own mind, particularly around attraction. And are you mentally practicing attraction in a way that's going to lead you to love and embrace and build a relationship with a whole and human and flawed person? Or are you practicing leaning into that fantasy that makes you discontent with the life you have, or the person you have, or the person you might have? And so I think that really comes down to that thing. Are you going to practice learning to love reality, or are you going to practice learning to love fantasy? And this is in all areas of life, but it's also particularly among attraction and relationship. And I do think it's one that, while it can seem innocent on the top, is one that we should investigate a little more as we go in the world trying to either love someone we already have or find someone we want to love long term. So that's kind of those are my thoughts on, is it innocent, is it good, is it bad? I'm knowing you're not a bad person if you have a celebrity crush, but I would encourage you to investigate why you're doing that and see if it is helping you love people better and find people you can love better, or if it's actually distracting you or making you more discontent with the people you are in relationship with now. But Joseph, do you have any kind of more thoughts as we're kind of wrapping up around this subject of celebrity crush?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, to sum up, you are meant to love other real people and be loved by other real people. And if this is helping you to do that in some way through process of self-discovery, something like that, or at the very least, it's not getting in the way with that, I am fine saying it's harmless. But you should ask that question. If you are having difficulties in your life, in these other aspects of relationships, could this be one of the things? Are you practicing fantasy that is leading you away from people and making it something that is a substitute for, a distraction from, or problem with loving real people and being loved by real people? So that's worth investigating. So anyway, this has been fun. This has been a fun episode, and I hope you guys enjoyed it and we gave you stuff to think about. And of course, now we are on to our blesses and curses segment of the week, where we take a work of art, media, or resource and recommend it, i.e. bless it or diss it, i.e. curse it. Do you want me to go first so you have more time to think of what your blessed curse it might be?
I thought of two things.
You did it.
One kind of pop out, but I did think of a good bless, actually.
Okay.
Mind.
Okay, cool. So go ahead.
This show, I don't even know if you can find it anymore. I grew up on it. It was on the Disney Channel, and I absolutely loved it, and my family really enjoyed it as well. It's called The Famous Jet Jackson. The Famous Jet Jackson is a great, great TV show that is heartwarming but fun and interesting. And it's about this movie star young guy who goes out to Hollywood, becomes a huge movie star, but he gets tired of the Hollywood life, and so he comes back home. But half of the show takes place in the TV show that he's in, where he's an action hero, things are blowing up, and then half of the show takes place in the real world, where he's just an actor now back in his little hometown. And he has a Nana that he's living with and taking care of. He has his friends JB and Kayla, who are, seems a real person. And so what I love about this show is it really shows the juxtaposition between fantasy and reality, and how every single time the fantasy is fun as he's, running from explosions and stuff, but the reality is beautiful. And his relationships that he's forming and the things that he's learning. And it's just a really great show that shows reality to always be the better option than fantasy. And that's really the impetus for him wanting to move away from Hollywood back to his little town with his family, because he didn't want to be people's fantasy anymore. He got tired of everyone seeing him as something that wasn't real. And so he wanted to be in a place where the people knew who he really was, regardless of what fame or kind of characters he portrayed on TV. So it's a really beautiful and an enjoyable show that, if you can find it, I genuinely don't know if it's like anywhere to be found anymore, but it was just, I don't think there's tons of seasons, but I really, really loved it. It's one of those classic Disney Channel shows. I encourage you and your family checking this out. Totally family friendly, totally fun, totally life affirming and heartwarming. While still having some explosions, all that fun stuff. I'm gonna curse this. Here's my cop out, because I could not think of a good curse. But I'm just gonna curse kind of the industry of both negative and positive PR, because there's these two worlds in Hollywood, and we see this with both. And what do you call the rag magazines and the paparazzi tabloids. But we also see the opposite side of that with these magazines where people are photoshopped on the cover to just perfectly beautiful. And I think both of them are kind of destructive, because again, both of them offer a fantasy. Well, the tabloids offer a fantasy of how terrible the celebrities are, and how look at them doing this, and tries to make more destruction and badness out of them. That's a fantasy of them. They're not the totality of the worst thing that you saw them do and got caught doing. That's not the totality of them. But also, when they so airbrush and make them perfect and make them essentially, these kind of demigods on the covers of magazines, I think that's a really detrimental thing too, because both of them are opposite sides, but ultimately meet around like a circle, ultimately are just fantasies of that distract us from these are real people. And I think real people are more interesting to me. I think people with flaws, who have good and bad, who have made mistakes and good choices, I think that's so much more interesting. And I think that's something that we ought to practice more of, how we envision other people, be that celebrities, be that in the context of attraction, but just be that in the context of looking at people, is reminding ourselves that this is a real person and they're not a fantasy, be it either worse than we think they are or better than they are. This is just a real human being like us. And I think that reality is so much more interesting. It's much more healthy when we can learn to start looking at people both in our lives and on TV in that way. So there's my curse, which is kind of just the PR marketing aspect of individuals in our modern age.
All righty then.
A little bit of a cop out. Sorry.
I mean, yes, but this is a whole genre of blesses and curses that are just like, you know, we're going to bless, like we're going to curse the internet or the media or something. So I've kind of accepted that that's a genre of a curse right now. I try never to do it myself, but you're never going to keep the guests from doing it. Yes, I know. I'm better than other people. That's fine. So I'm going to, but mine aren't that much better. So don't worry. I'm going to bless. So very simple ones. I'm going to bless the rom-com Notting Hill. We brought up Hugh Grant before, and this is, you know, this is a sweet rom-com from that era of the 90s about, you know, a man in a bookshop who ends up, you know, getting together with an actress. But what was actually interesting was the person who, I believe it was a screenwriter, based it on his actual, like some of the actual story of how he met his spouse. And so that was this kind of interesting aspect of how kind of fantasy and reality were kind of meeting in this area. But what was really sweet about it is how the relationship develops around partly like meeting his family and kind of how normal and ordinary they are. And there's so many modern rom-coms are built into the modern era where we're so kind of split off from our families, that kind of that idea of actually falling in love with not just a person, but their family is not done as much, and families as much of a supporting cast. And so that was always one of the things I liked most about that movie. So yeah, if you're looking for a classic, you know, PG-13 90s rom-com and everything that goes along with it, this is a solid one.
And you also haven't apparently found it in 30 years, then here's your suggestion. If you've been looking for rom-coms and somehow you get
looked up Hugh Grant and yes, exactly. I haven't found it. Yes. And of course, you know, I'm going to curse. I haven't cursed this in a while, so I'm going to curse this. Is the Disney film, is it Disney Pixar or Disney? Just Disney. I don't know. They've sort of homogenized at this point. But I think it's Pixar, is a Turning Red. I don't have a lot more to say about it than I have before, except that it does sort of put message over entertainment. And it does sort of imply that your peers are a better group of people to help you understand healthy sexual activity than your parents or other adults are, which I think is a bit problematic. So it just puts so much message over entertainment that I feel like somebody's trying to teach me a lesson the entire time, which you and I have discussed. It's like one of our things we kind
by the way,
of
everybody's guilty
eyes.
Of this. You think we're talking, no, we're not. We're talking about everyone. I'm tired of learning lessons. I have learned enough lessons. I just want to be entertained now, and I know that's terribly not cool of me, but
oh yeah, we've done that. We've talked about the faith based industry doing this ad nauseum.
Yes.
So we're not being
I can't be taught anymore.
I'm okay with being taught. I just want the union of art and message. If you're going to have a message,
a little teaching's fine, but mostly entertainment and explosions, please.
Sounds good. Watch the famous Jet Jackson.
Yes.
Anyway, well, this has been fun. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you think that we got something wrong or missed out, if you want to talk about your celebrity crush and overthink that with us, let us know. Nathan, if people do want to get in touch with us or you specifically, where can they go?
They can go to theoverthinkersjournal.world. They can also join our online Facebook group, The Overthinkers. If you want to get in touch with moi, you can go to nathanclarkson.me or search my name, Nathan Clarkson, on any of the socials. And if you're interested in me talking more about celebrity and Hollywood and acting and just that entire world, but through the lens of faith and philosophy, then I encourage you to pick up my theological memoir, Finding God in Hollywood. I put it out a couple years ago, and it's just my story through this crazy world of Hollywood and acting and all that. So check it out. Joseph.
You can find me on any of the socials as well. You can find me also on my writing work at, you can find me at josephholmstudios.com, my website. You can also find my writing work at Religion Unplugged, Christianity Today, Religion and Liberty, Relevant, all the really insightful places that clearly have the have the judgment of who should be writing and reading stuff. So, yeah, you can find me in those places. Thank you very much, everyone, again, for joining us today. And remember, if it's worth thinking about, it's worth overthinking about.